The following podcast is a production of St. James Episcopal Church in Skaneateles, New York, and features thoughts and musical reflections based on the lectionary for this week. It is available on our website and Apple Podcasts. All music is licensed to St. James for streaming by One License and Christian Copyright Licensing International. For more information, visit stjamesskan.org.
I want to be
I want to
dig a little deeper in the storehouse of this love, of this love.
I want to shine with the divine,
with the divine.
I want to
dig a little deeper in the storehouse of this love, of this love.
Now don't you want to
dig a little deeper
in God's love?
I want to dig a little deeper.
I want to
dig a little deeper in the storehouse of his love, of his love.
Well, I want to
walk a little more like a Christian should.
I want to
talk a little more like I know I should.
I want to
dig a little deeper in the storehouse of his love, of his love.
I want to do whatever is true,
whatever is true.
I want to
dig a little deeper in the storehouse of his love, of his love.
And I want to be in heaven with thee,
in heaven with thee.
I want to
dig a little deeper in the storehouse of his love, of his love.
Now don't you want to
dig a little deeper
in God's love? I want to
dig a little deeper
in God's love.
Dig a little deeper in the storehouse of his love, of his love.
Well, I want to
walk a little more like a Christian should.
I want to
talk a little more like I know I should.
I want to
dig a little deeper in the storehouse of his love, of his love.
Now don't you want to
dig a little deeper
in God's love?
Dig a little deeper
in God's love.
I want to dig a little deeper in the storehouse of his love, of his love.
I want to walk a little more like a Christian should.
I want to
talk a little more like I know I should.
I want to dig a little deeper in the storehouse of his love, of his love.
The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. And you say,
praise you, Lord.
As Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he entered a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work for myself?" How many of you have a sister? You remember saying stuff like that? I so remember that. "Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. If you look back at the prayer that you'll see printed in the bulletin right before the reading, the very first reading, from Colossians, you'll notice that in that prayer we refer to our ignorance, our weakness, our unworthiness, and our blindness. kind of a downer. But all of these descriptions are not meant as condemnation. Rather, they are to contrast between our humanity and God's divine nature. God is perfect wisdom, unwavering strength, infinite goodness, and the source of all truth. By comparison, human beings can only be less than all that God is. But thinking about our human limitations, especially right there at the beginning of the service, kind of sets us up to wonder about our adequacy in the eyes of God. Even the psalmist seems to wonder about that. Psalm 15 starts with this question, "Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle? Who may abide upon your holy hill?" And with that list of ignorance, weakness, unworthiness, blindness, you probably might be tempted to say, well, certainly not me. And maybe not anybody. So it is really critical that what we've already heard has been paired with this fairly lengthy portion of Paul's letter to the Colossians, because in that passage, Paul acknowledges that indeed all human beings once were estranged from God, but, and this is very important, because of Christ's faithfulness, because of Christ's reconciling work, because of his life, death, and resurrection, we are rendered, in Paul's words, holy and blameless and irreproachable before God. You are holy and blameless and irreproachable before God. So the bridge that needed to be built, the peace that needed to be made, the reconciling work was done for us by Jesus, in Jesus, through Jesus. So when we live moral lives, kind of the lives that were described in the psalm, when we love our neighbors, when we work for justice and peace among all people, when we work for the well-being of creation, we're not doing those things to earn access to God or favor with God. When people of faith live moral, ethical, generous, and loving lives, we are giving back to God out of thanks for what God has already done. So think for a minute about the volunteer work that you do. Maybe for the church, maybe for schools, maybe in the community, in some organization, wherever it is that you might serve. And then reflect for just a moment on your motivation. I suspect that we often get caught up doing those things to prove our worth. Maybe to ourselves, maybe to someone else, maybe even to God. But you and I are already worthy, because God created us and because Jesus loves us. We could not have more worth than that. And I wonder if you can pause for just a moment and take that in. Take a deep breath and just breathe in. I am worthy because God made me. I am worthy because Jesus loves me. Not because you earned it, not because you did anything. You just are. You are already loved and valued as much as you possibly could be. Nothing you do will add to the love, the amazing, abundant, overflowing love that God already has for you. So then we turn to the gospel, this little story. And there's some nuance here that is actually kind of challenging. one of the commentaries that Chuck Stewart and I often consult is produced by Luther Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota. And they very intentionally choose scholars and pastors to write those articles who are from various denominations and various backgrounds, various perspectives, in order to bring a diversity to our understanding of the scriptures. And it just so happens that the commentator who wrote for today's gospel reading is the Reverend Dr. Naveen Saras, who was born and raised in Palestine. So she has a perspective on the context of this passage that is unique. And she points out several things that I think are very helpful in just kind of shifting our understanding a little bit of what's going on in this story. First of all, notice that Luke tells us that Jesus was invited to Martha's home. In that culture, to identify it as Martha's home meant that she was wealthy enough to live independently from her family. It was customary for a single or widowed woman to live with her father or her brother. But had that been the case, Luke would have used one of their names to identify the home. He wouldn't have called it Martha's home. So already, Jesus has chosen to visit someone who is outside the norm of the culture. Dr. Saras also points out that in Palestinian culture, the way that you showed honor to a guest was to provide a beautiful meal and exquisite hospitality. So in working as hard as she did at her role as hostess, Martha wasn't just being a perfectionist. She wasn't just being a type A personality. She was actually giving honor to Jesus and showing him great respect, which he would have understood. There's another feature to this story that Saras explains. In Palestinian culture of that time, a woman would not typically have presumed she could join the men who were gathering to learn with the teacher. So Mary was breaking a custom, and Jesus accepted her presence. Not only did he accept her presence, he praised her for her choice. And I just have to wonder if he ruffled a few feathers that day. Saras goes on to say, and I quote, "Jesus promotes a vision or even a foretaste of equality. He is saying that these women have as much to learn and teach as any man," end of quote. Which kind of begs the question, if Jesus were here today, what stereotypes, what customs would he bend or break for the sake of the kingdom in which all are equally valued? And there's something else here that is perhaps the heart of this particular story. It would be very easy to say that Jesus put more value on Mary's choice of learning over Martha's choice of serving. But Saras makes a kind of a subtle observation. Martha's home may well have served as a house church, where people regularly came to worship and study and break bread. We don't know that, but it's possible that that's why that place would have been chosen. In the context of a house church, serving and learning were equally important. Both things needed to happen. Both of these ministries in balance with each other. In which case, Jesus was not elevating Mary's choice to the exclusion of Martha's, but was suggesting that serving shouldn't get in the way of learning. So here's the takeaway. It is essential that we prioritize our time with God and our relationship with Jesus. Getting work done should not take such priority that there is no time left to sit and learn from Jesus. And I just have to confess here that I'm speaking to myself. How many times have I sat down in the chair with my book next to me to do my quiet time, and I pick up my phone to read the scripture and read my email instead, and then it's off into the day. I know nobody else has ever done that. I am one who starts every day with a list, and I take great satisfaction in getting things done and accomplishing checking off what's on the list. So I kind of can hear Jesus saying to someone like me something like this. Your to-do list should not be so important to you that you shortchange time with me, or you run out of time for study and prayer. In our personal lives and in our life as a church, attention to service and attention to Jesus should both be held in balance because they actually nurture each other. The overflow of our prayer and study actually enables us to love our neighbor and to work for justice from a place of compassion. St. James offers regular resources for study and prayer. Going deeper on Tuesday morning on Zoom is a discussion of the text for the upcoming Sunday. Centering prayer on Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday offers time to pause and listen to God. But let me say that balancing work and prayer, study, and service is easier said than done in some seasons of life. Right? I think especially of families with young children. What parent has quiet at all, let alone enough quiet to settle into prayer and study? In fact, if parents of young children have quiet, they should probably be sleeping. So as a spiritual director of mine once said, pray as you can, not as you can't. Maybe the best thing for young parents or busy professionals is to choose some daily task that you know you will always be doing, like washing the dishes or brushing your teeth, and attach your time of prayer to whatever that task is, because it's going to come around and will trigger your thoughts back to God. Years ago, I belonged to a women's group who spent a lot of time ferrying our children around in the car to school and to sporting events and to activities. And what we discovered kind of together was that we could actually use our time in the car to pray. I know people who use their commute to work to listen to sermons and podcasts, or use the time on the treadmill or while they're walking or running to pray. The point is, Jesus is onto something when he urges Martha to find a better balance between work and study. For all of us, it's a constant balancing and rebalancing act. But resources for learning and prayer are probably as or more readily available than they ever have been because of technology. And even more so because of since during the pandemic. There are so many more things that you can do right from home with a little bit of support from technology. For example, St. James podcasts on Tuesday and Thursday. Our life of prayer is healthier when we seek Our life of faith is healthier when we seek a mix of work and study, service and prayer. One is not more important than the other. But as in the story, we often neglect study and prayer to focus on work. It's really easy to do. There is always more work to be done. Have you ever gotten it all done? I haven't either. But we cannot work from a well that is dry. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, finding moments of quiet to breathe, to take in the beauty and blessing found in an ordinary day, seeking out wisdom and inspiration from other disciples. All of these are fuel that enable us to become the creation that God intended, and also to do the work that is in front of us to do. All of it to the glory of God. Amen.
Far away in the depth of my spirit tonight grows a melody sweeter than song. Spirit tonight down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray.
Journey of faith, all are welcome here. For more information about this or any program offered by St. James, visit stjamesskan.org.